It's time for Arts Live and Local. It's time, almost time. It's actually next weekend, but we're going to get started now. The Finnish American Festival is coming up, so let's hear a little music from one of our locals, local Finnish musicians. And be sure to tune in. Every Saturday we have Scandinavian music. And welcome to Arts Live and Local on another beautiful, gray, wet, warm day in the Pacific Columbia region.
Lord, I try to be the praying kind. Sometimes I forget. Now I'm on this bus way back in the rear. Please don't let us wreck. We've been on two wheels and screaming around corners and bouncing wall to wall, making up time on the yellow line in the South Fork Cannonball. Mr. Wicker, the strawberry picker, is hunched over the wheel, heading to town with a hammer down. Can't you hear the tires squeal? Them workable boys are behind their seats, make you wonder what they're doing, getting their kicks with a bag of tricks with whatever scheme they're brewing. Lord, I try to be the praying kind, but sometimes I forget. Now I'm on this bus way back in the rear. Please don't let us wreck. And I know you are there, even when the sparrows fall. So won't you please keep your eye on me in the South Fork Cannonball. This big white tank's got a swinging door, about 5 inches thick. If you don't watch out, there ain't no doubt it'll knock you into the ditch. So get in, sit down, hold on, shut up, it'll take no time at all. Hold on to the dash and pray you don't crash in the South Fork Cannonball. Lord, I try to be the praying kind, but sometimes I forget. Now we're on this bus way back in the rear, please don't let us wreck. I know you are there, even when the sparrows fall. So won't you please keep your eye on me in the South Fork Cannonball. It's a big wide load out on Napton Road in the South Fork Cannonball.
Oh, yeah. Well, my guest is actually able to give us some first-hand information about that song, about Nacelle, and probably about the whole Finnish-American culture that we have here in this region. Anita Reistika is here. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you for having me, Carol.
You bet. I'm delighted. Now, Reistika has two Ks. It sounds kind of Finnish. Is it a Finnish name?
Yes, it is. There's only 13 of us in the United States, but many in Finland.
Oh, okay. So how did that happen? Most of your family didn't come over or what? Because, as Workalas are like a dime a dozen over here.
I do not know what the circumstances were.
Well, I want to welcome you especially because I understand that you are a Coast Community Radio virgin. So congratulations on your first visit here. And I'm glad you finally made it. I can't believe it's been, years, and here you are. So what's your role in the Finnish American Festival?
I'm in charge of the cultural programming series and PR also.
Have you been doing this for a while, or is this your first year doing it?
At least since 2006 for the cultural programming series.
Okay. And let's step back a little bit and just let people know the FinAm Festival. Do you say FinAm? I say FinAm. Or do you say Finnish American?
Either one is okay.
Depends whom you're speaking to, probably, how formal you need to be. Okay, so the FinAm Festival is next weekend, and I understand it's the 16th biennial. Does that mean that it's been going for 32 years, or it
is? Correct. It started in 1982.
How did it start?
Sue. Oh, yeah. Hallway, and Anna Erland and Wilho Saari who are still on the board, were some of the original members, but Sue was the one who had the idea for starting a Finnish American Folk Festival.
I can believe that. She's full of ideas. That's great. And was this the Scandinavian Festival was already happening over here in Astoria. I love the Finnam Festival. I think it's very special. It's smaller, and yet it is packed. And I don't know whether it's just the way you wrote it up or whether it is different this year, but reading your press release on that, which I did read, I was blown away. I mean, there's so much going on. Is it always like that?
It's always like that.
It is. I think the problem for me is that it starts on a Friday.
Correct.
At 10 a.m., and I'm here. And so sometimes I get over there just as people are closing up the food booths, and it's like, no, but I get to dance at least. So Nacelle is a large Finnish population?
It was when it started. Mm-hmm. But now you look at the list of kids who are in the schools, and you don't hardly see a Finnish name anymore.
Interesting.
There's still a lot of, you know, retired Finns who mm-hmm. live there, mm-hmm. but a lot who do not have children in school.
Okay. Of course, if the Finnish women marry non-Finnish men, sometimes you lose the name, but the heritage is still there.
That's like correct.
With our Scandinavian princesses, often they have totally non-Scandinavian names, but you scratch a little bit and you find the heritage. So Our Finnish Roots Run Deep is the theme this year.
That's right.
Overall name. It's happening at the school, is that right? At the Nacelle School?
At the schools, and that's at the junction of SR 401 and SR 4.
Now, I read something about where you're supposed to park, but it didn't really mean anything to me. I don't know the area well enough. So,
if you're coming from Astoria to Nacelle, before you get to the schools, you'll come to Oki's Select Market and the Bank of Pacific, and at that junction with SR 401, Napton Road comes in off of the right side, Parpola Road comes in off of the left side, and off of those two roads, there are three churches where you can park, and then a shuttle bus will take you up to the school and back, and it also makes a circle to Apollo Archives Center.
Yeah, I want to go there. So am I right that you really need to find one of those parking spots, because unless you have a disabled sticker, you can't park at the school?
That's correct.
Okay.
And there's also vendor parking at the school.
For
handicapped people, the parking is right in front of the school mm-hmm. and then right behind the school.
Yeah, that's easy to find. So I'm sure there'll be signs or balloons or stuff up, so it won't be very difficult to find. Now, start us off. I saw that there is a lot of Sami stuff going on. That would be interesting to a lot of folks. Is that
that happened by coincidence? And then once I got the first two presenters, then I wanted to show a Sami film, because there is a Finnish comedy about a Lapland journey, but it was a little bit too risque for a festival. So instead, we're starting off with a Norwegian film, Max Manus, based on his biography. He was a fighter during the Winter War in Finland in 1939, and then went back to his homeland in Norway and became a resistance fighter against the Nazis. And it's excellent. It's in Norwegian and Finnish, but there are English subtitles.
And I'm sure a lot of it, you don't even need words to understand what's going on, too. So that's happening Friday?
10 o'clock. Friday morning in the commons at the school.
That's the first big event.
Correct.
Okay. But the truth of it is, there's, even if you didn't go to any events, if you just walked around the space, I love going into that photography room, for example, where you've got pictures from way back. I don't know any of these people, and yet I find it fascinating because you can see family clumps and on down the ages. So that's all set up before you start the festival.
All the exhibits will be open Friday morning at 10, and all of the Tory vendors will be there and ready to go, as well as the food vendors.
Okay, so what other exhibits do we have besides that huge photography?
We have art and flower in one room, We have a museum, which is based on a barnyard this year.
Mm.
We have a room just completely full of quilts.
Now, where did the quilts and the art come from?
Different donors have brought it in, or the chair people of that particular room have begged and borrowed and stolen.
No, well, as far as you know. So these are locally made,
yes,
or owned items. Okay, good. And then I saw that word tori, and I think of T-O-R-I as a Japanese gate. How does it get into the Finnish culture?
That's a word, Finnish word for marketplace.
Ah, okay.
So you'll find you can purchase many handcrafted items, such as woven rugs, books by Finnish American authors, two of whom will be presenters at the festival. And the Apollo Archive Center will have all the books that we sell there that we have had been a part of publishing. And
I'm going to get back to the Apollo Archives. First, let's check this out. I noticed also that Ray Gardner is from the Chinook Nation is going to be there. Is that?
That's correct.
Is he Finnish?
No.
Oh, okay.
But we do have a number of Findians.
Findians. Nice. So he's going to be talking about his people's heritage in this area, is that it?
That's right, from the past, the present, and the future. And he's also bringing the Chinook dugout that you've seen in,
yes,
the Daily Astorian recently.
He's quite the speaker, Ray Gardner. I've heard him several times. He steals the show often. So, okay. And somebody from Seattle took a bicycle trip. What's that?
Bob Goldstein rode, starting from Finland.
Not a Finnish name.
Doesn't sound like it, no. Starting in Finland, going through Norway, through Lapland this whole time. And he's going to do a PowerPoint presentation of his trip, both on Friday and Saturday. And on Friday only, I simply ran out of rooms. I couldn't have her twice. But Ellen Jensen is coming from Norway. She's doing studies of the Sami there. And if you've read National Geographic lately, she has written an article about the Sami people in National Geographic.
So is she an American? I couldn't tell.
Yes, she is an American.
But she's getting her degree in Norway.
I think she already has her PhD, and she's just doing additional research.
And so the name of the book, I wrote this down, We Stopped Forgetting.
At Stories of Sami Americans.
Yeah, I would love to. I 1967, I hitchhiked all the way up through Norway and back down, and came down through Finland as well. And I spent some time with the Sami in two different Sami villages. That's Laplanders for folks, that's the Lapish word, Sami. And it's an amazing culture. And of course, that was how many years ago? So it was, people were still dressed in their traditional clothing all the time. I'm sure they're not anymore, but maybe
she'll be able to tell us.
Well, that's it. And she's only there on Friday, darn it. So I'm going to miss her. But I maybe somebody could videotape, because that's
We're trying to get the video, the lectures videotaped.
Good.
We have the equipment. We have the tapes. We just need operators.
Okay.
So if you can come help me out, let me know.
So you got to get some of those young folks who know how to do electronics or something. But yeah, I hope you will for your archives. That would be terrific. Okay, then we're going to go over to the Apollo Archives. And I have not been there yet. I keep reading about them and hearing about them. And I even got a little booklet from them that I purchased. But what is that? Who's Carlton Apollo, for a start?
Carlton Apollo is 90 years old. He was born in a fish boat between Deep River and Astoria. And he tells a story that they said they should throw him over because he was as ugly as a frog. But fortunately for us, they didn't. And he's been taking pictures and collecting historical articles and books and records and done oral interviews since he was a teenager, at least.
Wow.
He went to the University of Washington. He also studied in Stockholm at the university. And about 10 years ago, he hired local women to start organizing all of the materials that he had. And just 2 years ago, the Apollo Archive Center has become its own 501c3.
I didn't realize it was that recent.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we have now some employees and are always adding more and more activities, adding more items to our collections. We have a huge Finnish room that includes books written in English and books written in Finnish.
So now it's a totally separate from the FinAm Festival, but you're incorporating it into the festival. In other words, the archives go all year round.
Right. Okay. And we often co-sponsor things together, such as authors
coming to the area. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you said that there will be, so if people get themselves to the Nacelle schools, then there'll be shuttles going over to the Apollo Archives? Because I saw that on, again, Friday, from 4 to 6, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there.
Right. It's a reception to honor the performers and the presenters, but we're also dedicating the Finnish costume that was...
Yes, that's exciting.
Right. ...created in Nacelle and is now the expatriate costume worn by Finns all over the world.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something to be proud of? That's very exciting. Okay, folks, this is happening not this weekend, but next weekend. It starts on Friday, though, at 10 a.m., the 27th through the 29th. Now, I understand that the 29th, Sunday, is mostly services, and it'll be great music. And by the way, let's not forget, Saturday night is great dancing. It's wonderful dance music, and there's terrific food. The whole thing, it's a very fine festival, a lot of fun. It's a real community festival. The Finnish American Festival in Nacelle. And if people want more information, is there a website or a phone or what?
FinAm, FinNAM dot Nacelle, NASELLE dot net.
Wow.
Phone number?
Yes, go ahead.
360. Mm-hmm. 484-3376. And the complete schedules for the performers and the cultural programming series are both on our website and are easily printable in a PDF format.
I can see you've said that finam.nacelle numerous times, the way you spoke slowly and clearly. Very nice. Anita Rystica is my has been my guest. I'm going to have to let her go. But folks, this is a terrific festival. Check out their website, finam.nacelle.net. And get on over there next weekend.
Can I say one more blurb?
Please. Yes, please.
Roots Running Deep is a Reader's Theater on Thursday and Friday night, and it is the history from 1982 of the Finnish American Folk Festival.
Thursday and Friday night?
Thursday and Friday night. And you will probably be laughing. You will probably have tears in your eyes at time.
Who wrote this?
I don't think you want to miss it.
Did Sue Holloway?
Yes, of course Sue wrote it.
She's the writer in the book. Okay, so what time is that happening on Thursday and Friday?
I believe it's 6:30 on Thursday.
Okay, so that's like a preview almost. Okay, thank you so much for coming in, Anita, and for helping to keep this festival going.
Kiitos, Oaken Paljon.
Kiitos. I wrote it down. Kiitos, with two I's. Everything in Finnish has double vowels. That's just the way it goes. Thanks so much. And again, that's coming up next weekend, not this weekend. But we have stuff going on, plenty of stuff going on this weekend, so do stay tuned. Right now I've got a tune from the Floating Glass Balls, Cannon Beach Group, and they are going to be playing at the Sand Trap tonight at 7 p.m. That's in Gearheart.
Watch the waves come rolling in. Can't help but wonder where they've been. Can't help but wonder what's in store. a little further down the road. Another day, southward bound. Another night, another town. Silver Sea, setting sun. Out on Highway 101. Highway song that fills the night. Shrouded mist, morning light. The road behind me becomes the past. Came and went too good to last. Voices singing all together. From Cranville down to Pistol River. Silver Sea and setting sun. Out on Highway 101. Shooting stars, fishing boats, the eyes of Mars. Hear the ocean rant and roar, waves are crashing on shore. Another day, southward bound. Another night, another town. Silver Sea, setting sun.
Floating Glass Balls, our very own band, one of our wonderful bands here. And again, they're going to be playing at the Sand Trap in Gearheart this evening at 7 p.m. There's music there usually every Friday, sometimes even Thursday, sometimes Saturday. You have to stay tuned to KMUN to find out about these things. That's the way to go. And to find out about other things, like what is going on at the Coaster Theater. Because the summer repertory is in full swing. And by the way, I want to give a big shout out to Marianne Myers for a great show last week. Thank you so much for covering me while I was off working so hard at the Oregon Country Fair. It was tough, folks, but I managed to survive. Yes, all cell phones are off now. On the other hand, so the Coaster is in its third of the repertory theater, just opened, and my guests are going to tell us about that. First, I have my regular, and that would be Craig Shepherd. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Carol.
Whoops, I'll turn you back on
okay.
Now. There you go. Craig Shepherd is the artistic director of the Coaster Theater and the executive director. And most important, he's the set designer. Because anybody who's heard me talk about the Coaster with anyone else knows that I say, even if you don't want to see the play, it's worth going just to see the set. In this case, though, you're going to want to see the plays, all of them. But the one that just opened, and I have a feeling that no one's ever heard of this one before. And that's because it is an original play by Nancy Owen, who is my other guest. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
And Nancy, I believe you're visiting from where?
New York. We live about 80 miles north of the city in West Park, New York.
Okay. Sounds like something political, West Park. you also do have a connection with this area, if I'm correct.
You are more than
correct. As a
matter
of fact, maybe even with the guy sitting next to you.
Yes, I do.
Yes, this is a brother and sister team. I just love it. Makes my heart go pitter-patter. I'm just delighted. And the play is called A Week of Augusts. It just opened on Wednesday night.
Actually, the opening was delayed till tonight, so it's opening tonight. So that's even
good.
Even better.
Oh, so tonight does that mean that you're going to do the wine and stuff?
Yes, we have wine tasting at 7:15 from the Wine Shack. And
oh,
then,
folks, you got lucky.
Yeah, and a champagne reception afterward.
Oh, this is great. It's always an extra little boost. And it's very exciting to have the playwright here because it's rare. Either they're dead or they're
well, give me a
else.
Little time.
No, well, we'll all be there at some point. But I'm actually quite thrilled. Your background is not just as a playwright, though. Am I correct? What tell
right.
us about?
Well, I got my BFA in theater. I took a lot of directing classes, and I did some performing. And I've worked quite a bit in children's theater,
oh.
and I'm a director for high school productions. And then I spent about five and a half years running a theater workshop and a creative writing workshop at a men's maximum security prison.
How did that come about?
You know, some of the men had been at a prison where they had a program like that, and then they had been transferred to Eastern, and they really wanted it, and luckily the superintendent was open to it and put out the word, and somebody asked me. And,
okay, so you weren't working at the prison.
No.
They found you because you do theater. Had you ever worked with this kind of population?
No, I never had, and I have to say it was very nerve-wracking at the mm-hmm. beginning because I really had no idea what to expect. But of course, they had no idea what to expect from me either.
So you know, I've heard occasionally on KMUN, I've heard broadcasts of people working in prisons, doing Shakespeare and all kinds of stuff, and I've been fascinated. But tell us about it. Well, how did it develop after you kind of The nerves settled down.
Yeah. Well, I had about 35 men in my
wow.
program. And
it's voluntary.
It's voluntary.
Okay.
And an incident happened at the prison where a couple of artists had been working on a mural. And the guards felt that it was possibly going to be political. And so they painted over the mural, and they just whitewashed it, and they, of course, didn't tell the men. And the next day we had our workshop, and I just walked in the room, and the energy flying around the room.
Now, was this after you had been with them for a while?
Just for about a month.
Oh,
and I
Lord.
Have to say we were floundering a bit. So yeah. when this happened, you know, and I said, well, tell me about it. And they spent the next 2.5 hours recounting this whole situation. And I said, you know, it's not meant to be a mural. It's meant to be a play. And they were at first
wow.
upset. And then I said, look, you can paint over anything, but the image is still there. What it needs is a voice. So
Boy.
We began yeah. a Fantastic. Year-long project. And then I started doing the writing workshop to account for the extra time that we needed to put the script together. And then we did a reader's production of it, and I invited a guest from outside who came to the prison and sat with the general population and watched the program, and they liked it so much that they said, well, you should do a full-scale production. So that was our next project.
Now, since the people involved are volunteers, did some of them end up leaving while you were there? Or I'm sure there were rules they had to behave in certain ways or they're out of there.
Right. And they set up their own sort of screening process so that anybody who wanted to come into the program, some of the inmates took charge and made sure that they were serious about it because they wanted to protect. They were glad to have the program, and they really wanted to protect it and make sure that it was there. So they had their own screening. And, of course, we would lose actors a week before a production because they would be transferred or something would happen and they would.
So what happens in a case like that? Is there an understudy or is somebody else?
Usually, we have someone who's working as a stage manager or smaller parts who are willing to jump in.
But they're all inmates.
They are.
You didn't have any officials in the group?
No.
What kind of relationship did you develop with these folks?
You know, it's funny because they tell you you have to go through all of this orientation, and they say, you know, it's very important to keep your distance and to keep. But if you're doing theater, it's impossible to affect any sort of program if there isn't a trust element.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I have to trust them and they have to be able to trust me. And at the beginning, it was so hard because it just felt to me it was all about our differences,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as it got going and you listened to their stories and we started sharing different things, it's all about the commonalities. Mm-hmm. We have so much in common. All of us mm-hmm. have these wonderful commonalities. And when you can tune into those and when you can focus on those, you know, then everything settled down and we had a great 5 years.
Yeah. What ended up bringing it to a close?
One of the men ended up smuggling something in who was in the program. And the superintendent had switched, and the new superintendent, I don't think, was very big on volunteer programs. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of shut the door on
use that as
all
an excuse
the programs,
to
right?
Shut
even
it
though
down.
It had nothing right. at all to do with the program.
Sounds familiar. It sounds like everywhere else, you know, if the administration comes in and doesn't care about the
right,
program,
it's almost like they're looking for an excuse.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm just imagining what kind of I'm sure that this whole program and these men had an effect on you in your life, but your effect and the memories they have from this of this person, this outsider who comes in and just, you know, I'm making with my hands here. You really made community with them.
Right. And yeah. we did comedy workshops
on
Tuesday nights in the library. And
how often did you go?
Well, you know, it was supposed to be once a week. And then it started twice a week because of the writing group. Then I added the comedy workshops. Oh, and then we did some evening rehearsals.
Oh, my goodness.
So
wow.
basically.
Wow.
I was sort of being let out to mm-hmm. go home and visit my family.
That's great. Yeah, but this is what a way to build something for people to look forward to and enjoy and appreciate. And what about the relationships among the people themselves? Had they all known each other?
No, they didn't. They didn't know each other. And the best part when we finally got our show up and running, two or three times we were interrupted because of something that happened at the prison and mm-hmm. I have to postpone. And I was getting frustrated. And one of the men said, "You look so frustrated about this." And I said, "Because I just feel like, you know, we've worked on this and I just feel like you need to have this moment." And he said, "The moment already happened." He said, "You have people from different gangs, different minority groups, mm-hmm. different religions, all these men that if you went out in the yard would have stayed separate and apart from each other, and here they are all working together for this common purpose."
Fantastic. So. Wow. Ooh, yeah. And that's what art and theater is about.
Right.
So let's bring it back here and remind folks, you're listening to Arts Live and Local. My guests are Craig Shepherd, whom you most of you who are regular listeners know from the Coaster Theater, and Nancy Owen, who is the playwright. And did you have a separate director for this play?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes, Victoria Pohl
directed
it.
Great.
Yes.
Oh, that's delightful. The play is A Week of Augusts. Now, tell us, when did this play happen? When did you write the play and why?
Well, my daughter and I went for a weekend. Well, actually, about 3 days stay down to this bed and breakfast in a small town on the shore of New Jersey. And we got in this small B&B, and there was this group of women there, and they were wonderful. They were funny. And it's a dry community, so they had mm-hmm. bottles of wine in their pockets, in their purse, in their trunk. And just were this wonderful group. And I just kept saying to my daughter, "I feel like we fell in a play.
Uh-huh.
You know, this should happen." And then when I went back, a writing class I was taking, the instructor said that she was going to be starting a fiction and if anybody was interested in writing a book. And I said, "Well, I've got a play."
Oh,
and it was great
goodness.
That I had the class because that kept me on track mm-hmm. with deadlines mm-hmm. to get it finished. So it was
so
a wonderful process.
That kind of inspired you. Now, were the women actually sorority sisters?
No, it was a reunion, but I think they were just like women from the neighborhood, and they just sort of did a girls' getaway.
Right, right. But that got you going on this
right.
Big chill kind of theme. So when did you write this play? How long ago was that?
I think I finished it about Oh, I think it'll be 2 years.
Oh, okay.
2 years.
So it's very contemporary.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's opening tonight at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach, thank goodness. If you have never been to the Coaster, here's one of the funnest things, is every seat is a good seat. So get your tickets now. Call, actually, as the best thing, unless you're right there in Cannon Beach, in which case you can just go over to the theater. But if you're not, it's 503-436-1242, and get your tickets. But if you decide at the last minute, then get on over there and see if you can get in, because if you're visiting, this is a great weekend. You have 3 plays in 3 days. Is that right? Or are you changing that schedule?
Not this weekend, but okay. There are weekends where you, certainly weeks where you can see all 3 plays.
Okay, because I was using the guide, mm-hmm. and it said tomorrow was Lace and yes. Sunday was Charlie.
Okay, then that's okay. Absolutely right.
So you can see all 3, but tonight is the opening night. And Nancy, the playwright, is here. Are you going to stick around for a while?
I am. I'm going to be around for a little while.
Great, great.
Get to see a couple of performances and the other shows, of course.
Excellent. And a little bit about our region. Had you been to this area?
I never have, and we've been kind of darting around trying to see everything. It's beautiful here.
Oh, well, yes. Well, good, you know. It's a lot of people end up moving here, although it sounds like you have a life back in New York. So we'll come visit you there.
That's
maybe that's the way to do it. So, well, congratulations on writing the play. Now, have you produced it back east as well?
No, this is a world premiere.
You know, I may just have to do it. I mean, this is too exciting. Just too exciting. 503-436-1242 is the number for the Coaster Box Office. It's in Cannon Beach. If you have any questions, you can ask them. Play starts at 8, 7:15 as a no-host wine bar. But then after the play, there's always yummy desserts. Usually there's some chocolate. And champagne. And it's a great opportunity to visit as well. Thank you so much for coming in, Nancy. Thanks
for
sharing your play with us. This is great. Now, have you been on radio before?
Only one other time.
But not in this area, certainly, because you've never been here. So, folks, my second Coast Community Radio virgin in 2 guests, 2 out of 2. Congratulations. You know, I'm on a roll here. The rest coming up are not, however, so I have to make the most. Thanks again, and congratulations. I can say that to you because you're not going on stage. You know?
Right.
And Craig, you're not in this play, are you?
No.
Okay, good. Thanks for bringing Nancy, and for full disclosure, this is a brother and sister team here, which gives me great heart. We'll see you later.
Okay, thanks, Carol.
Thanks. Thank you. And I've got a little bit of music from Tierra Negra, which is Tierra Negra and Muriel Anderson, New World Flamenco. They're going to be this Sunday, 2 p.m., at the Raymond Theater. And we had a whole crew in last week to talk about it. But just have a listen to the music, and I think you'll agree it's worth a visit. that is the Tierra Negra and Muriel Anderson New World Flamenco. Again, Sunday afternoon live, 2 p.m. this Sunday, July 22nd at the Raymond Theater in Raymond, Washington. And it's another sweet, sweet theater that it was built in 1925. And it's a beautiful spot, and they put on terrific concerts there. So join Sunday Afternoon Live, or SAL, as we call it. And right now, I have a couple of guests in the studio, and they are in the visual arts and art goodies here in the Astoria area. I'm going to start off with Scott Laying from Dots and Doodles, which is an amazing art supply store here in Astoria, certainly worthy of any large city. They started off a smallish shop, got more and more and more crowded until it became obvious they needed to move. They also immediately, it seems, am I right, you started showing works as well, like a gallery.
Yeah, so we've been showing works pretty much since we've opened.
Right.
But we quickly outgrew that space, which was on 10th Street.
Right.
And at that time, that location was about 2,000 square feet. So our new location is 4,000 square feet. Yeah. And I think we've outgrown that, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we have.
Well, part of it is that you're doing so much, and that's what you're going to tell us about.
Absolutely.
Right now, I just want to mention my other guest is Drew Herzig, who's going to be talking about the Open Studio Tour. Drew, your mic is on,
yes.
So don't say anything rude. But if you have have any questions for Scott, please feel free to jump in on that. So tell us what all is going on. Did you expect, you started this as supplying the local artists with material. Did you envision at the beginning that you would be making it a gallery space and also making it a workshop space and all of that?
Well, not exactly. When we first started, certainly we had a vision, but I think a really important aspect of growing is to be open-minded and leave room for evolution without being locked in to a rigid sort of idea and sort of go with the flow. I mean, we certainly had hopes, but as we've gone along, as we've met people in the community, as we've made friends, we've sort of assessed and talked about the various needs that people have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very clear that the community certainly has resources, but people seem to be starved for more. And so we decided to offer some basic classes. And then that grew,
mm-hmm.
and more people were interested in teaching, and more people were interested in attending. And so today, we have several weekly ongoing classes as well as workshops. And they are different.
Different in the sense
that classes are an ongoing situation, mm-hmm. people coming from week to week, developing, working through issues, working through their own art experience, whereas the workshops are designed to introduce people to an area and to the artist and give them a broad overview and a small experience in that material. So together, that sort of complements each other, not to mention that we thought about having local folks as well as out-of-town folks,
mm-hmm.
a mixture mm-hmm. to sort of address a number of different ends.
For the workshops
and for the classes, yeah.
Ongoing classes?
Yes,
well,
we've had some folks come in in the past who live out of town. They've come in for a few sessions ongoing and plan to from time to time.
So I'm thinking, though, that I'm imagining that what could happen is that you offer a workshop and people check it out because it sounds interesting, and they like it and say, we want more.
Exactly.
And then you come up with a class ongoing.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of it. You know,
that's great.
What's going on in the community? And here in Astoria, mm-hmm. you know, the visual arts is very strong. And we here tend to be very representational, and we're very traditional with regards to the materials we're using. So we have primarily, but not exclusively, watercolor painting, oil painting, pastel drawing, and so on. So right now we have three ongoing classes. We have watercolors twice a week, actually three times a week with Joe Pomeroy Crockett.
Great.
We have linoleum block printing with Sheila Brown.
Oh.
And we have oil painting with Robert Pullman.
Oh, my goodness.
Robert is
yes.
a new addition to the town, and he is an exquisite painter.
I've seen at the ART or AART gatherings, I've seen his work, too.
Absolutely.
How exciting. So he comes into a community and finds a niche, and you offer him the space and the community
and,
his talent.
Yeah, yeah. Here we are. We have a basic premise, though, at Dots and Doodles, and it's very important to us. It's part of our philosophy, which to us, art, everybody has the capacity to be an artist in the sense that they have expression or can express themselves through the visual arts and other media. Now, obviously, people need to develop their skills and talents like everyone else. So we're offering an environment where it's very non-threatening, mm-hmm. it's very accepting, everything mm-hmm. is okay, because these are people who are bringing themselves in with their hard-earned money and mm-hmm. with their own motivation, and we want them to have a good experience, to feel like this is their space, they can carve some time out and say, this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be very effective. I think that some people kind of want to move in. So to that end, we have to, you know.
That's why you need more space.
That's why we need more space. So true.
Wow. Well, now tell people where Dots and Doodles is now.
Dots and Doodles yes. is in Astoria on 303 Marine Drive. Now, that's directly across from the Burger King.
Ah!
Directly across. Oh, you can see right into the dining room.
How exciting. How inspiring.
Oh, yes. It's also very fattening, I must tell you.
But so it's right on Marine Drive.
Yes, it
and
is.
Third.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the corner where Westrose Antiques used to be.
And before that, Mead Carpets, I
exactly.
believe.
Actually, he's upstairs.
Oh, is
yeah,
he back there?
He's still
okay.
there.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great, great. And it is, even if you're not ready to, or think you're not ready to take a class and you don't need supplies, and I'm in that position because that's not my art form, but I highly recommend a visit to Dots and Doodles because it's a beautiful space. You, even in your tiny space, you made it look beautiful. And now in the larger space where one can actually turn around and see, it's beautiful. The colors, the way you've got things lined up, and what you've done to all of the walls and everything. It's quite attractive.
We're trying to make it a creative space, but mm-hmm. I would say if anyone's interested in finding out about workshops or classes, mm-hmm. all they have to do is call us at 503-325-5081, and we can add them to our e-newsletter.
Yes.
Which is where we inform people of what right. classes are going on.
Right. Classes, and also you are marketing a lot of material for artists, and that's a great service to the community also.
And Scott is an artist himself, and if you go in there, he has tried everything he sells there. He can give you a hands-on, say, this
nice.
Brush really works, this material, this paper takes the colors. It's fantastic
yeah.
because not only does it bring an artist's eye to the display there, but he brings an artist's knowledge of the materials to the materials they sell there, which is an incredible help. He's very right. good at steering people in the right direction for their needs.
Right. Nice. So a mentor in a way, too.
Well, it's
so,
fun. You know, I yeah. think we have to, like I would say, we have to have you can't be in that situation and feel bad. You want to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
You want to feel good.
Absolutely.
And I want you to know that I'm sort of there with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't claim to be any great artist, believe me. I'm learning along with everybody else. I'm testing all the new materials. Like I always say, I get all the broken stuff from the reps. That's what I use.
That's cute. Well, let's talk about an opportunity to visit Dots and Doodles as part of the Open Studio Tour, because I think you
yes.
have made, I know last year you did, you made the space available, and this
Absolutely.
Year again. So why don't I ask Drew, and again, back and forth, and we'll, anything you want to pop in with, the second annual Astoria Open Studio Tour, which is an Astoria Visual Arts event, is happening again next weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, the 28th and 29th, from 10 to 4 each day. Now, was it 2 days last year?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And as you found out, 2 days was barely enough to get to all the locations.
I couldn't get everywhere. And once again, if you heard me last year, I oohed and aahed. I promise not to do too much of that this time, but it's folks, get yourself one of these bulletins, because each artist is represented, and there's some gorgeous stuff in here, and the only problem is you're going to have a hard time seeing it all. So that's one of the nice things that Dots and Doodles, you have several artists there.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
The Palette Puddlers are one of the groups. They're going to be showing there. And it's a group of women that consists of about five to seven people. And they will be there this weekend. And I have to agree with you, by the way. This is a beautiful brochure.
Yeah. You did a gorgeous job, you and that other guy.
Yeah. And I want to give credit. This year, we were able to do a full-color brochure thanks to a grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition, which is part of the Oregon Cultural Trust. We got some funding from them through a grant, and so it's 4 pages full-color, top to bottom kind of thing, and the images came out great, and the map, Alejandro Banke of the Crest the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force, he spent hours of volunteer time putting that map together. When I told him it was going to be color, he just went crazy. You can see it's a topographical map.
Yes.
It's got the parks in green. Right. It's the map alone.
But it's got each one of the spaces where the artists are going to be is numbered so that you can easily find them. And Charles Schweigert, one of the artists, did the brochure design. And it is gorgeous. Now, where do people pick up these?
Well, your listeners are going to have a challenge here, because this Sunday, the 22nd, Astoria Visual Arts will have a booth at the Sunday Market.
Okay.
So we'll be there handing out these tour guides kind of thing, and people can come and ooh and ah and take one, and they'll be all ready. If they don't get one this coming Sunday, then any of the tour locations on the tour weekend itself will have extra brochures available.
And the idea of getting it the week before is you can, seriously,
absolutely.
You really want to look at this and look through this and see, okay, now how am I going to root myself? Because I did run out of time last year, although I did pretty well, but I didn't hit every place. Because
in the brochure, each artist has an image and a description of their medium or media kind of thing. So you will be able to kind of look at the images and say, I really like that. I want to see more. As Carol was saying, one of the great things about a studio tour is you get to talk to the artist.
Yeah.
You get to spend as much time as you want just chatting with them, seeing their workspace, seeing how they work. And it's great for the artist because artists are starved for feedback. Sometimes they don't get to meet their public.
Right. And they're in there all by themselves.
Exactly.
You know what I noticed you also did, which is very helpful, is, for example, Dots and Doodles, it lists the names of all the artists who are there, too. You actually have 6 artists listed and their medium and several others. Margaret Teary and Noel Thomas are in the same place, Vicki Baker and Jen Lowry. Mm-hmm. So you can plan your
There are 30 artists, but only 17 locations.
Thank
so
goodness.
We've tried to consolidate.
This is a fabulous and by the way, you can buy the art, too. As a matter of fact, you're highly encouraged to buy the art. Yes. But
The brochures are free, the tour is free, but the artists need your support.
Yes, and
it'll all go back to Dots and Doodles for art supplies. So it's
right, there you
so
go.
We're encouraging them, too.
Right.
But I actually have to say that last year's studio tour, everyone was totally thrilled.
Yes.
It was very successful.
The artists and the public
absolutely
had a good time.
Thank Charlie and Drew for really helping to coalesce
this
community.
Is great. And glad that the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition and the Oregon Cultural Trust is supporting this. And many of the other local galleries and spaces. And most of all, know that these are all local artists, and this is a great opportunity for you, whoever you are listening, to become familiar with some of these local artists whose names are not as well-known as others. And so this is a good opportunity to get to know them and see their work, even if you don't have a big checkbook right now. You may at some point. So anything else? Yeah,
you can come and get the brochures this Sunday at the Sunday Market. We'll have a booth somewhere. Astoria Visual Arts, their Fiber Arts Center, will also have the brochures. And the tour itself, Saturday, Sunday, July 20th and 29th, 10 to 4 p.m.
Excellent.
And the Palette Puddlers, who will be at the Dawson Doodles, they will be doing demonstrations all day.
I remember that from last year. They're actually painting.
They're actually going to be painting all day, and you can stop in, visit, and chat with them.
Fantastic. So thank you both so much.
Thank you.
I wrote down Wally Mann, pastel, now. But it's Scott Lehing, who is the co-owner of Dawson Doodles, and Drew Herzig, who is the co-creator, along with Charlie Schweigert, of the Astoria Visual Arts Astoria Open Studio Tour. 30 Astoria artists. What a deal. Thank you both very much for coming in. And folks, remember to support your local artists, visual artists, theater artists, musicians. I've got a couple more tunes to play. We have Jen Rawling and Basho Parks are going to be over at the Sou'Wester in Seaview tomorrow night. I think they're, let's see, what time they're going to be on, from 6 to 8. Have a listen to them. Stay tuned, and I'll read off a few more things. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Arts, live and local.